Hebrews chapter 2, verse 7. I just appreciate Brother Dave so much, man. I ran sound for years. I know what it's all about. Nobody don't say anything about sound until it goes wrong. Right. Amen. When it's all good. Am I right about it?
That's right.
They never say, man, that was tight. All it was feedback. Turn me up. I can't hear myself. Okay, chapter 2, verse 7. Let's go to 6. But in a certain place testified and saying, what is man that you are mindful of him?
Yeah.
Or the son of man that you visited him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and did set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under subjection under his feet. His feet. For in that he put in subjection under him, he left nothing that was not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, and making the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering.
Yeah.
Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearer of this word this morning. Amen. You may be seated. There's a lot of meat there, but I don't really want to labor the point, but it's a launching pad this morning. If I may say, a text this morning would be, what is man that you are mindful of him? Now we look here in verse 6. The writer of Hebrews is quoting a scripture in Psalms, I believe. You ever ask yourself, why am I here? What is my purpose? You see, if you know your purpose this morning, you'll live for it. It'll give you a reason to live. Matter of fact, life is in finding that I have a purpose. It gives me a reason to get up every morning. It gives me a reason to look forward to tomorrow. Life is lived out of purpose and on purpose. Therefore, we are people of purpose. So a man will live when he knows his purpose. But show me a man who's walking in his purpose, that man will die for that purpose. It's a whole nother level of living. Once you actually get to walk in your purpose, you'll actually die for that. Amen. And the Hebrews says these words, you have made him a little lower than the angels. You've crowned him with glory and honor and set him over all, everybody say all, the works of thy hands, and you have put all things under subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things in subjection, he left nothing that is not put under him. Now for years I just breezed right through that scripture and assume he's talking about Jesus. Y'all better just, you know what they say when you get on an airplane? Put your seats in the upright position, fold your tables up, and tighten up your seatbelt, because we're fixing to take off somewhere today. Amen? Just give me a minute. I told Pastor Coleman I'm not Koji. I ain't Baptist. I ain't finna try to be what I'm not. But I want to be who I am. Amen. And I want to drop some knowledge this morning, because it's the knowledge of the truth that makes us free. We've been trying to set people free, and we need to make them free. For the word of God says the truth shall make you free. We ain't trying about to set nobody free, because if they're not free in their heart, they'll just go right back. You find them right back in the jail that you found them in. So, but if we can make you free, then you live free. Then you start living according as a free man. But there's a price for freedom. There's a price for freedom. Amen. I have a lot of things on my mind. If you'll allow me just to be in a real time moment. Just let it be real time. Just let it flow. See, there's a lot of things happening in the church, and the scripture says that he put all things under man's feet, because two scriptures down he says, but we see Jesus. So he's talking about two different folks. Now what we don't understand is God has already put all things under our feet. But because of our stupidity and ignorance, he had to bring Jesus on the scene to make sure that he put all things under our feet. Is this all right? I was reading this morning, I was reminded of a story. I wanted to bring it out to you in detail, but I'll just touch on it a little bit. I was thinking this morning of a scripture, of a mind, and of a movie called Back to the Future. Amen? Back to the Future. You think about, I got to go back to the future. I got to go back to the future. I got to go back to the future. St. Thomas, in his book, he wrote a book. His name is St. Thomas, which means Didymus, which means exactly like, twin. He was the one that's actually closest to like Jesus. And I know y'all think he's doubting, but the disciples called him Didymus, which means the twin or the one exactly like. Amen. And the twin was writing in his book. He has like a 3-chapter book. It didn't make it in the canon of scriptures, but there's something we can learn from his walk with God. And in the book, it says Thomas asked Jesus one day, what will be the end of your coming? What's the end of our time? What's the end going to look like? How will we know? Because most folks want to know when the end, they're going to get it straight right the day before. Don't you know if we knew the date, there would be no churches. There would be nobody in this church. If we knew the date, and what's funny in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that's where God's from, because I'm from Oklahoma. They used to tell me that all the time. This crazy cat wrote a book in 1988, said Jesus coming back July 13th, whatever, 1998, wrote a book. 20,000 people packed the Maybe Center, and he didn't come. So he had all these books written, so he had to do something, so he changed the date to 89, and it made a mistake. Well, I got news for you. I'm not worried about Jesus coming back, because he never left. Jesus never left. Because every week we take communion in the church, he says, this is my body. This is my blood. I am here. He is here. He never left nowhere. Matter of fact, he came and trade places with you. He came in to dwell and live in your heart so you could live in heavenly places with him. Oh, somebody would help me up in here. He never left. He never left. A church has got it so, I almost said a bad word, forgive me. So messed up. I'm just a country boy from Oklahoma. I know I look slick, but I'm not. Don't let the clothes fool you. They got it so messed up. They tell people, come to the altar and ask Jesus in your heart. And he's there. And you won't be long in the church, and they'll teach you, well, you got to live right because he's coming back. Well, where did he go? I thought he was here. Now you're telling me he's here. Where did he go? He never left. Matter of fact, he said, I will not leave you except I send the same spirit that I have, the same comforter that I had. I will not leave you alone. We as a church have learned how to feel alone, but it's not gospel. We've been taught that your sins will separate you from God. when it was exactly Paul that says, I know there's not angels, nor things present, nor things above, nor things beneath, nor things in this life or the life to come that can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. For I am fully persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. If he loved you when you were living in hell, how much more will he love you living inside of you? Is there really anything that can change his mind about you? Is there anything you could do to make him change his mind? What is man that you would come and live in him? Woo. Say it's in there, man. It's in there. I don't live my life out of fear no more. I'm not afraid I'm going to wake up and God ain't going to be there. I'm not afraid that there's anything that I could do to change. You know what God will do? He'll make you go do some stuff, allow you to do some stuff just to show you that he ain't left you. Go do the craziest thing you ever did and lay down in your bed and see if you can still speak in tongues or not. Because the Spirit will not leave what God has anointed. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He can't take it back. If he ain't going to take back a big gift, why would he take back your salvation? Why would he take back his abode in you? Why would he just pack up? You think God lives in U-Haul? Always packing up and moving. Every time I say a curse word, whoop, there he goes. No wonder nobody don't want to serve your God. It's too hard. You get down in the depths of your sin, and God is my witness, you will still find the Holy Spirit still there, and you'll still be able to pray in the Holy Ghost, because it's a spiritual thing, baby. It's a spiritual thing. It ain't a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. Matter of fact, John said this seed remains in you, and you cannot sin. Y'all got to get it straight. Quit preaching one side. Preach the whole side. See, David said, if I ascend into heaven, there you are. But even if I make, if I, oh, y'all ain't getting it. Even if I, every time I try to help God out, I make my bed in hell. The scripture says, there you are still. How are you going to get away from God? Is there really a place he don't exist? Doesn't everything exist within him? For whom all things are made and by whom all things exist, even in Jesus Christ? You really think he created a hell place to put you? Let me break it down for you. I wasn't going to go here, but you see, hell, I got an issue with hell because in the early manuscripts, they never use hell to preach the gospel. It's the gospel of good news. If you want to be precise, hell may be a place for the fallen angels and for the devil and Satan himself. It was never intended for humanity to be in a place of torment. But we've been trying to put people there all our life. All the folks we don't agree with. We got a place for you. It doesn't really make sense that if while you were in the world you were sinners, you were bound for hell, but you came into God. Now how if you do the same thing, you're going to end up there again? We have watered down his saving grace. The matter of fact, the truth of the matter is, if you realize that there's nothing can separate you from God's love, you get tired of sinning. You get tired of it. You just get tired of it. See, hell really, in my perspective, in my life, where I'm at in my life, hell, in Matthew chapter 16, I believe, says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. That word hell is Hades, which means a place of non-perception.
Yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir.
And anytime you get in a place in your life you can't perceive God, how much hell could that be? Amen. It's in there. We're going to have a lot of Bereans after today, but it's in there. But I got a problem because God created us to be overcomers and more than conquerors. I tell Pastor Coleman all the time, we talk like kings and live like slaves. We talk like kings on Sunday and live like slaves Monday through Saturday. Oh, come on now. Y'all be honest with me. I was reminded of a great book I recommend you read. I'm sure y'all all read it. It was by a great, yeah, I'm sure you read it. But it was news to me when I read about Frederick Douglass, the great innovator of helping free slavery. You know why Iraq war is having so much struggle? Because they're trying to bomb a mindset. That's what religion does. Instead of having talks and discourse about mindset, they just try to get everything straight on the outside. You'll never change the Iraqi people mindset by bombing them, because it's a mindset. It's their whole belief. It's their whole being. The whole fiber of their being is a belief system. Right? What I love about Frederick Douglass is that he had a black mother but a white father. I got to get this straight or I'll never come back. Am I on point? And I love one of the quotes he says in his autobiography. He's writing there and he says, man, I have a lot of brothers and a lot of sisters and they're flesh and blood, but we don't know each other because slavery has made us all strangers. See, anytime one group try to control and manipulate and dominate and use another to their own advantage, that's slavery. And sometimes the religious systems we grew up in have kept us in bondage in some kind of sense of slavery. And what's happened is we have become strangers, you and I, one to another. Even our own house and our own family, we become strangers one to another because we were in bondage. And it started eating at Frederick Douglass. Started eating at him. Said, this can't be. And the white slave owner was terrified of the black man and he would not let them conjugate and get together. And every time they get a little group going, he'd separate them. Sound like the devil to me, don't it, you? And the worst slave drivers were the ones who were Christians. And they beat them in the name of the Lord. Oh, don't tell me people don't beat people in the name of the Lord. Don't tell me religions don't exist where they beat people over the head with the Bible every week and tell them you got to get it straight. Get right. Heaven's high. Hot. Hell's hot. They beat you over the head. Make you walk out there smaller than when you came in. Well, we ain't finna do that at Triumphant International Ministries. We're going to lift you up. We're going to preach you up to a higher place. You're going to walk out of here better than when you came in. You're going to come out of here with an understanding. Am I right about it? The problem with Frederick Douglass was one day his master Coveney came to beat him. He knew he was going to beat him. I love what he did. When I read this 3 or 4 years ago, it changed my life. I really did. Because Frederick Douglass said in his heart, I will never let him beat me again. Think about it. Because he said in his heart, I'm a human, equal with him. And he has no right to beat me no more. And therefore, I will not allow him to lay a hand on me no more. And Master Coveney came and raised his whip, and he just snatched his hand and said, no disrespect to you, sir, but you are not beating me today or from now on. And in the book, it says that Master Coveney never laid a hand on Frederick Douglass the rest of his days. Sometimes you got to stand up to what's trying to beat you down and get sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. Somebody got to have enough sense in their mind to get sick and tired of being broke. Got to be sick and tired of being heartbroken. Got to be sick and tired of being lost. Got to be sick and tired of being spoken about. Got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired and say, I am not going to allow this no more. That's all you got to do. We got a problem, though. That's the problem in the church. The devil's a lie, man. But he ain't got nothing on me. Because I am my worst enemy. I am. Everybody say, I am my worst enemy. It is me that tells myself I can't. It is me inside of my mind that says it won't work. It is me inside of my mind saying it's the color of my skin. It is me saying it's because of where I live. It's me saying to myself it's because of what I drive. It's me telling myself I can't, I can't, I can't. And the devil ain't got nothing to do with it. You're going to have to go to heaven and apologize to him. You blamed everything in your life on him, and it was you. I'm told that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart about himself, so is he. You will never rise above what you cannot perceive about yourself. Woo! You cannot live above what you cannot perceive about yourself. You cannot let your circumstances dictate to you how you're going to think and how you're going to feel and what's going on in your mind. You got to teach your trial a lesson. You got to rise above your lack and say, I'm a child of God. He's put all things under my feet, and I don't care what's going on around me, but he put everything under me. That's why Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. What is faith? Saying, what's going on around me ain't me. What's inside of me is going to manifest. I used to tell my wife, sit down, y'all, sit down. I used to tell my wife, I preach $1 million sermons for $50 bills. One place I went and they gave me 12 pimento cheese sandwiches for an offering. Oh, you'll get it. You'll get them. But one day I tried this out. I don't recommend you do this, but I tried this out. I kept telling my wife, I may have tens and fifties in my pocket, but I got millions in my heart. One day I wrote myself a check out of my ministry to myself for $10,000. I'll be happy to write you one, just don't cash it till I tell you. $10,000, and I carried that check around, and I got out and looked at it. See, I'm not happy just paying my tithes. My goal is to give $1,000. I don't know what your goal is, but I want to increase. 6 months later, a guy calls me up. We were in Detroit calls me up, gave me a check for $10,000. It never happened in the history of my life. And I, you know what I did? I ran home and told my wife, come to the bank with me, baby, because we finna go cash this check that I wrote myself about a year ago. I don't want to say I told you so, but it came to happen again about a year later. There was a $20,000 check. If you cannot perceive it, you cannot receive it. If you cannot perceive it, you cannot receive it. You have to see yourself out of debt. You have to see yourself in control. You have to see yourself in a business that's growing. Quit worrying about what's going on around you, but see yourself the way God wants you to see yourself. Because if you can perceive it, you can receive it. Wow. No better place than right here to make that happen. I got to move on. I'm way behind, but I wanted to give you an illustration this morning, and we'll be talking about this one thing. And everybody see this? This is humanity. In Genesis chapter 2, God says that he formed man out of the dust of the earth with his own bare hands. Did he not? And the scripture says he breathed or poured in the breath of life. All right. So we have man that has human qualities and divine qualities. Man has human qualities and divine qualities. That's why our DNA has two strands. One is human and one is divine. But y'all don't know about that. We call it DNA. We call it divine nature attributes. Why your DNA has two strands is because to be who you're really supposed to be in this earth, you got to have human qualities and divine qualities to make up a new quality. See, man became a living soul, a nefesh kaya. He became a being that was created but had godlike qualities deep inside his DNA. It's downloaded. Everybody say it's downloaded. This technology I'm giving you today is downloaded. You just don't have the right operating system to run this software yet. Some of y'all still running Windows 98. You can't run this stuff on that. Your hard drive will crash. You cannot run this technology on Windows 98. And you can't get it on the dial-up speed modem. Because your computer will just die out. It will never get it down. You got to get you one of them new computers. Wow. Vista. They've got about 4 gig of RAM. And you got to get a T1 speed modem. What am I saying? You got to get your mind. Your mind is your computer. And the only way you can run this software that I'm sharing with you today is you got to get your thinking right. It'll sink in. And what we got here is a picture. I'm reminded of Jesus. I'm reminded this morning of Jesus. You know, the scripture says that as many believe became power to become sons of God. St. Athanasius says these words, the Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men might become the sons of God. What is the purpose of man? To be like him. I ain't trying to get nobody to be a Christian. I want you to be like him. Well, sometimes we aim a little bit too low just trying to be a Christian, but we ought to be like him. Right? It's so funny because Christian was a slang term, a derogatory comment, yet we run around trying to be that which back in the day was like you know. Paul said we were believers and we are disciples because deep disciples are those who want to live like him. Yes. Amen. Saying that Athanasius says he became all that we were without losing anything of who he was. Is that all right? He became all that we were without losing anything if he was. So what I showed you today is Christ. He took on a human form, and then God breathed in him his own blood, amen, because you get the blood type from the Father. That was the Father's blood in him. He was pre-incarnate, born of Mary by the Holy Spirit. Amen? We agree with that, don't we? And what he has become is a new creation or a firstborn of many brethren. But the problem is, my problem is, that's what happened to us. Isn't it? In other words, the same thing that happened to God, he was pre-incarnate, born of Virgin Mary into the world as a man, as a divine human. And I just told you that's the same thing he did for Adam. So my question is this morning, is this God or is this you? Because you can't tell the difference. Jesus said like this, if you've seen me, we should say, if you've seen me, you've seen him. Is this God? It's made up of the same attributes. But you know what religion will do? Teach you how to separate. Separate this, would you? Take the God out of the human, and then I'll sit and listen to you for a while. Once it gets in there, it gets infused in your very being. It's part of your DNA. You can't just separate it and pick and choose when God's going to be God and when he loves your humanity. And so making a new creation. I want you to think about this. Because as he is in the world, so are we. Beloved, now, everybody say now.
Now.
We are the sons of God.
We are the sons of God.
Does not appear what we shall be, but we know when it comes, we shall see him as he is because we shall be like him. I just come by to tell you, you are more like him than you think you are. You do yourself a disgrace by denying the price he paid to get you to where you need to be. Right? When Adam's in the garden, God said, don't eat the tree of good knowledge of good and evil. And obviously they go right to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I told my boys, don't play in the street. And they're on the curb. As close as they can get to the street. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Because that's the human nature. You see, Paul said these words. I fear, at least at any time, your mind should be corrupted because the serpent was more subtle than any beast in the field, and he corrupted Eve's mind through his subtlety. Paul said, I don't want you to be corrupted in your mind as Eve was. Corrupted mind means wrong thinking. Right? Just give me a moment to build this, and we'll break it down, and we'll go eat some good food. I come by to tell you that your perception is your reality. Your perception is your reality. See, we got to learn to be alone and not be lonely. We got to learn to be alone and not lonely. We got to learn to be financially challenged, but not be broke. We got to learn these things. It's in our thinking. It's in our thinking. Because you will have what you perceive that you shall have. You need to eliminate these words from your vocabulary always. My wife's not here to defend herself, but she uses this word. It really gets under my skin. You always do this. Help me out, men. You always do this and such and so. And I said, baby, it can't be always, because I know there's at least one time I didn't do it like that. So you're putting me in a corner I don't want to be in. But we do that about our finances. Say, this always happens. And it's not true. It's not true. It is not true. You're a liar. Amen. Let me go quickly. Adam and Eve ate the tree. Adam and Eve ate the tree. And the scripture says, the eyes were opened and they knew they were naked. Sound like a jet in here, don't it? Thank you. He says, the eyes were open and they knew they were naked. My question to you this morning, weren't they already naked? And they were not ashamed? Now they eat the tree of disobedience and all of a sudden they knew they were naked? Amen. It's a lie, man. Oh, they're going to give me this one. Tired of me walking around, ain't they? All right. Thank you. The eyes were both open and they knew they were naked. The what changed? They were already naked. Nothing happened in the physical. But what happened is their mind changed about what they thought they saw. Their perception changed about themselves. Their perception changed about themselves. This is the reason why sin is so dangerous, because it causes you to see yourself in a different light. It doesn't mean that God don't love you. It doesn't mean that he's still not there with you. It just means that you cannot see him because you see yourself different. That's why he says your sins have separated you from the love of God. Your sins have separated you in Jeremiah. But come and get them washed clean as snow. The problem is God didn't leave you. It's that you left God. You left him because you couldn't handle your guilty conscience. You couldn't understand what sin will do to you. It doesn't hurt God's feelings. He already paid a price for it. What happens is it hurts you. It makes you see yourself different. That's why it's so dangerous. It was Adam. Thomas says these words, when will be the end? Jesus says, if you go back to the beginning, there you will find the end. Back to the future. So we're going back to the first family, find out and fix why we're so messed up. Because we do the same thing. Adam perceived his nakedness as a bad thing. It ain't got nothing to do with what God did. God did not talk to him, nor did the devil say a word to him. For we are our worst own enemy. We are our worst enemy. We're our worst critic. Most times critical people are critical because it's so hard on themselves, they don't love themselves. Till you love the God in you, nothing else is going to change. I'm okay right where I am. He made me to be right where I am. And when he's ready for me to be somewhere else, he'll move me, because it's in him I live and move and have my being. I don't have $1 million in my account because God knows I ain't ready for it. But when I'm ready for it, who's going to stop it? Who in the world is going to stop God doing what he said he's going to do? Just me. Are you tired of taking two steps up and three steps back? Am I talking to the right people here this morning? Adam saw himself different, yet 30 seconds ago he saw himself glorious. And nothing changed. And look what happened to him. He went and covered himself with his own work. And he hid amongst the trees of the garden. And but he still heard the voice of God. Because even the dead hear the voice of God. You may not ever be able to see him, but even if I cover my ears, I can still hear myself preaching, because there ain't no death, no hell, no grave keep you from hearing the voice of God. He still heard the voice of God. That's what's bugging you. Because God ain't leaving you alone, man. You're like, make this thing work or get away from me. Make this thing go through or get off me. Make this thing click or let me go. And he says, no, you got to change. I ain't changing nothing. Oh, I've done that. Don't ever bargain with God. You're not going to win. I told God, man, I'm preaching and I ain't going to work and preach at the same time. Amen. To bless God, I'm going to work. I was working at a plant where they made carpet. You know what I'm talking about? I'm the MOG, remember? But I ain't going to do both. It's just too taxing. I just ain't going to do it, God. And you know what he told me? Not a word. Just keep being foolish. And guess what I did? I did exactly what he wanted me to do. I worked and preached. He saw himself different in a different light. And he sold himself aprons and covered himself, which is man-made coverings, which is what religion does. It gives you a covering to make you feel guilty and ashamed for something you're not supposed to be feel guilty and ashamed for in the first place. Oh, y'all ain't ready for that. Religion is man-made approach unto God. I try to get myself presentable to come to God. Yet when you came to God, you came as you was. And now you're trying to get yourself fixed up to come to God. And he just wants you to come as you are. Because that's how you came to God. That's how you need to keep coming to God as you are. God asking these questions. Where are you? As if he didn't know. See, God knows this morning where you're at. The question is for you. Do you know where you're at, Adam? Don't tell me you ain't hearing his voice. Because we are downloaded. Every man that enters the world is lit with a spark of God. And every man can hear the voice of God. Or it wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be fair. We've all been downloaded with the ability to hear his voice. But we've been taught and twisted for so long that we don't know what to believe. And I'm here just to drop some knowledge on you that maybe God ain't no farther than your front of your nose right here this morning. Maybe he said what he said he would do, that he would never leave you or never forsake you. Maybe he said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end. Maybe, just maybe, we might believe what he said about us. That you didn't choose me, I chose you. You couldn't select me on your best day, so I chose you. My best day, I couldn't find God to save my life. I thank God he found me. You know, the old songs talk about finding Jesus. I found Jesus. Well, the problem was you couldn't have found Jesus because he wasn't lost. You was. You was lost. Therefore, he found you. He came to where you're at. Oh, that's for another day. See how the perception changed? So if he found me, can he keep me? Here we are. What are we? Is it Jesus or is it me? See, we want to be so close to God that we don't know where he ends and I begin. People ask me all the time, how do you hear the voice of God? And I'll tell you, real simple. He sounds just like you. That's the reason why you can't discern him, because you have grown so close to him that he actually speaking to you in your internal voice, because that is him talking to you. Because you and him are one. Therefore, when you're thinking in your mind about your great business and great purpose, you think it's you, but it's God talking, because you and him are one in the same, and his voice sounds now like your voice, and it's hard to discern, but I'm just here to drop some knowledge and tell you it's God talking to you. That's scary, ain't it? It's God saying, call brother, sister, so-and-so, not you. It's God saying, go by here and go to this store at this time. It's not just you. It's not a, don't ever say the Holy Spirit is a hunch. I got a hunch. I ought to do something. I don't feel led. You see, it never says that.